Every Wednesday, we check in with Indiana men's soccer, and the head coach of your Hoosiers, ranked number 2 in the nation, is our great friend Todd Yeagley. Coach, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, class. Thanks for having me.
A little bit easier to play football when it's mid-70s in your morning training session instead of mid-90s, I would bet. But Notre Dame, last Thursday night, you moved the kick time back to 8:30 to let that sun get out of there and cool things off a little bit. And the Hoosiers picking up a 1-1 draw in the opening game of the season. Kind of looked like a first game of the season there in bits and pieces, but I thought your kids played awfully well in a large majority of that game. Number one, it's a tough schedule going on the road to a big-time program, big Power 5 school. What'd you learn from your bunch on opening night in a 1-1 draw?
Yeah, I thought it was, historically, you know, we've opened a lot of seasons up there, and the heat, first and foremost, obviously difficult for both teams, but really, really challenging. That was one of the more difficult conditions I've coached in, and sometimes your team does a little bit, some of the players that you have based on where they're from. We have typically a little bit more cold weather guys, just from the nature of where guys grow up. So the extreme heat is not necessarily an ally for us, and I think it affected a few of our guys individually a bit more than others. Patty McDonald from Greensboro, he thought that was a nice day. and he can run all day anyhow. But yeah, very few weren't affected by that. Obviously, they had some similar challenges, but all in all, we had good segments. We didn't give them much from the run of play. They're dangerous on restarts. They have some good attackers. When I say that, we broke down on some decision making moments, the goal being one of them. So communication, maybe trying to make a play that we shouldn't, in this case with JT's exit, and he's been really good for us. And those happen. We just got punished for it. But we created some good chances. That field also, although it's very good, is way different playing surface than ours with our Bermuda. That's a much thicker, slower field. So some of our passing or, sharpness was a bit off, and I think that's just adjusting to that field. But all in all, a 1-1 draw when, in the end, maybe a fair result. Both teams did have some good chances. We'll obviously take it. We're always looking to get a result. We're never looking to play for a draw, nor were we. But it's not going to hurt his class. They're going to have a good season. You get rewarded for ties on the road, RPI-wise. So we kind of said, all right, let's move on and gear up for our next one, which was a fun one with DePaul.
Yeah, we'll get to that one here in a minute. But looking back at that first game, an opening draw on the road, when did that become a bad thing? The way you schedule – You have just what, a handful of conference games because of how many teams are in the league and whatnot, and your schedule annually. Do they have a schedule quotient that shows where you rank in schedule difficulty at this time in the year, or does that come out later? Because I would like to illustrate this point for our listeners.
Yeah, there's an unofficial RPI that starts generating. It's just too early for it to be really. It's not accurate right now. There's just not enough data. There's not enough games. But the way it works is, a road draw, you have no bonus opportunities in our RPI structure for home games. So anything you do on the road, a tie or a win against a certain ranked RPI team at the end of the season, of course. But with Notre Dame, I think this is a good side they have. They play a really tough ACC schedule. They typically are a team that's flirting in the top 30 somewhere, and that's a bonus tie. That's in many ways, that's better than a win at home against a team that is a mid-range RPI team. Although that sounds crazy, it's encouraging teams to go on the road and challenge themselves, and we do that. So, of course, we felt like, man, we had a couple good chances to win it. And without overtime this year, Glass, that's also a challenge of like, okay, is there going to be a game that will dominate and we can't get a goal and we tie, and maybe that was the game that maybe we win overtime if we can have it. I don't know what the result would have been, certainly another 20 minutes, but as we saw in 19, that was very friendly to us, the overtimes, those first four games. So overtime with the departure of overtime in the regular season for our fans are maybe confused. That just puts a little more onus is like the games you feel like you could get that win. It just gives you a little more cushion because ties are a tough evaluator at the end of the year with the committee. But in this case, it will be a favorable tie on the road against a good Notre Dame team. So again, you kind of just you say, you know, job well done in many ways. First game, getting some things out, got some new guys in the field that we hadn't seen much, and in the tough conditions, again, muggy climate, which is obviously harder when you're traveling. So all in all, we're pleased where we are right now, and we just move on to the next.
Yeah, you don't sleep in your own bed. It's not your pitch. What do we do on game day? When do we eat? When do we get ready? When do we get taped? All that stuff. You can only do that one time to get it out of the way. Well, now you've done it, and you did it at a Power 5 conference, and you came away with a 1-1 draw. Colin Zaduro, we're going to talk about him a lot today with Todd Yeagley, the Indiana men's soccer head coach. A lovely 1-2 with Sam Sarver for your goal. Two things. I know you were not going to be happy conceding off a restart. That is on the top of your list of things that you do not like to see. But you had to love that quick response. And what a touch from Arduro to get it onto his right foot in the 1-2 and then smash it underneath the Notre Dame goalkeeper. That was a pretty special combination and one we saw last night as well. Let's talk about Notre Dame. The quick response after, well, you haven't had a lot of time with this group together, a lot of new faces, but set pieces are very critical, as you've told me 1,000 times over the years.
It is. I mean, the statistics show it. You know, typically in a year amongst any league, or in this case the college season for us, it's in the 30% range. It could be as close to 40, maybe 20 is a low end. So a third of your goals are coming from them in either directly or in oftentimes the most dangerous element of a restart is the recycled component of the restart, the second phase that we call it. And because there's just a lot of confusion with marks and everyone's kind of a little bit out of position. So we were very good in that last year. You saw a lot of goals that we generated from those moments. Those were key goals for us to win games. And if you get fouled as much as we might, Glass, you've seen the explosion of some of our players, you're going to get fouled. And therefore, you need to be ruthless in your restarts offensively. And then defensively, they got to earn something. And really, that was an unearned, you know, goal from our end. That was nothing special they did. It was more what we could have done better. So good learning. I don't mind if you don't love the scripted, if it doesn't come out on the good side, but it's also not a bad thing to go down in the game early because it's going to happen at some point in your season. And to be able to like just keep composure and move on and know that the next goal is where it will come, wherever minute that is. I thought that was also a positive, that the reaction from the goal was not negative. It was like, all right, let's just keep going, let's step it up a bit. And we did that. And the 1-2 with Sammy and Collins was very good. It was, in particular, the explosion that Collins had to kind of break their back lines. What you will see in our fans is that that's a special quality. Not unique to Collins of our other players, but he saw it and he just exploded through the gap in between the two center backs and then had good composure in the finish. And, you know, that was an area that, you know, losing Wittenbrink as just a, you know, very complete goal scorer for us last year. We need to be clinical in games that maybe we don't get, you know, the amount of shots that we maybe get against DePaul last night.
Todd Yeagley, head coach Indiana men's soccer, reviewing DePaul and, well, we haven't got there yet, and Notre Dame from last week, and wrapping up with the Fighting Irish, out shooting them 17-9. You did play a ton of players. I know part of that was the climate that night, but you saw some faces and some combinations in there. I don't want to say created 17 chances. We know how the shots are counted there. I thought you had the better of it for most of the game. How happy were you in the attacking third? And then the other side of that coin, the defensive third, I thought maybe a couple miscommunications there. Well, that's new people with only a couple weeks under their belt. But 17 shots to get things started on the road against a good team, that had to be, and from multiple places as well. That had to help.
It was good. We created some just from central run of play. We created some off what we knew we'd get around the edge on them, just the way they play a bit narrow and deep. It's hard to kind of penetrate centrally. So I thought we got around the edge pretty well. We were our runs in the box when we didn't connect the cross. I liked where our ending spots were. And really what it came down to is just a few moments that we still have to be a bit more clinical. And, And scoring goals is so hard in a game. It's the hardest thing to do. And so we'll continue to work hard with our front guys. It did kind of scream that maybe a restart could have been the difference because they were fouling us against glass. This is kind of a theme we're seeing. I thought maybe a wide restart where we can – I thought that was the element of the game on both defensive, which was, you know, part of the goal mistake was our decision and execution. But we had enough wide restarts that I thought that could have been the difference for us in finding that go-ahead goal. And our service was off a bit and some of our timing of runs. But, I mean, we're cramming a lot of things. It's like every couple of days we can't – you know, you spend time doing restarts and you lose some, you know, some attacking moments or defensive, you know, shape. You just can't get it all in. So we're just trying to layer stuff on and learn in real time, you know, how to get better at areas of the game. But restarts, we've got to continue to be focused and ready to make plays on both sides.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer, the head coach, joins us every Wednesday. And last night, the home opener at, just an absolutely gorgeous night for soccer, Jerry Yeagley Field. Bill Armstrong Stadium, you told us in media on Monday that you didn't know a whole lot about the DePaul Blue Demons. You were more worried about what your side was going to do at home. Well, after about, how many shots was it? I think I lost count at some point. 31. Is that a typo?
No, it's not. I say I wish, because I'd love to have 31 shots, but I would love to have maybe put five behind the line in the back of the net with that many opportunities. But that's a high number, Glass, as you know. You follow the game closely. That's a high number.
I thought you guys were very calm and complete. You didn't look like you were hurrying up to hurry up. You got forward. You worked the ball. You cycled the ball through the middle of the park. You played some diagonals. All the things. It looked like an advanced training session. I don't mean any disrespect to DePaul, and I know you probably don't want to touch on that. But I thought that's how professional it looked last night.
It was not the – you know, we knew DePaul had a few departures from last year's team. We played them in preseasons the last 2 years, and it was pretty tight. We had – you know, we controlled the game in both those preseason games, but it looked nothing like last night. And what I love is that, you know, a preseason game, we don't necessarily taper. We're playing a lot of different bodies that maybe wouldn't appear in that game. And there's pressure, Glass. I mean, I think what I've made sure of our guys, like this team, make them unsettled and uncomfortable from the first whistle. And they did that with our defensive pressure, with our recoveries, and the way we just took care of the ball and probed in different ways. We were asking a lot of questions with that back line. And that's what I liked about our attack. We were able to find different elements, and we found kind of the kinks in the armor, if you will. Our matchup advantages were quickly identified. You saw the right back sub pretty quickly. That was who we were going after, and they saw the same thing. They tried to rectify it, and it got a little better for them, but that was a huge advantage for us. And then lastly, you know, I agree. We played with really good urgency, and we didn't necessarily just jam balls forward. The only difference last night is just some of the final composure, which is the last action. You know, there was a few that, you know, we kind of used the club analogy. Some of the finishes, we either were leaning back, we were overexcited, we used the heavier club, if you will, and those are excitable. I mean, that's what's great about opening night. You have a great, what a great student crowd that was phenomenal for a home opener on a weekday. All of that, I think, got our guys a little amped up as well. And so I saw some rush finishing. But then on top of that, you get those many shots. And, you know, honestly, those two goals were as clinical as finishing.
Oh, they were fantastic.
I mean, that header, for all of us that know the game well, that is a really difficult finish. And to do it as a freshman who's an attacker, that's more of like a defender ability to kind of keep power, keep it low. And then Quentin's finish from distance was magical. So it's so cool that we scored two fantastic goals. It didn't matter how they came, quite honestly. I didn't care. I said, just get put your knee through the damn ball. We just need to get a goal. and we wanted that mentality of attacking the box. But I thought our runs and our awareness of each other for some of our spots that we like to get to we're really improving quickly, and that's really where Collins got his header, and then quit, and you know, just was able to find some sophistication that you know, not a lot of guys can hit that ball.
A very cultured left foot, as they like to say on the television box there. Robin Van Persie, Marco Van Basten would have been proud of that finish.
Yeah.
Now the fun thing about this team is getting through the lines, moving through from the midfield into the final third. You really have some players individually that can unlock a defense or can get behind. And I thought Sarver's final ball on the Oduro goal was after about, you know, after 40 minutes, it had to come. And he worked so hard. But that final ball finally beats the first man, gets to where it needs to go, and there's Oduro waiting at the back post, as you mentioned, for a clinical header. But Sam will dig that ditch for you, won't he?
How do you not love that kid?
Oh,
as a fan?
Full throttle, man.
He is full throttle. He gives, you know, every bit of – he's so passionate when he plays. He plays with such incredible intensity. And I thought the great part about his development is I thought he read moments on when to take guys and when not to. Sammy sometimes will forget about the second defender or where their cover is and kind of run into trouble at times. And I thought last night he really picked his moments correctly, more than not, on when to use, you know, his 1v1 ability. And if he doesn't able to make a play, it's still the right moment. And that's what I'm pleased with. I thought he recycled some ones that wasn't on and kept the ball moving. And other times he was, if we can just get him to come into that left foot a little bit as he develops, you know, that was, you know, the real success of Wittenbrink in his last year, is that once they figured out that right foot coming inside, he developed going to the end line with his left, and you're like, okay, which way do I want to beat you? And if we can get Sammy to be a little bit more lethal coming to his left, then but this is his first year wide. You know, he's been playing more central for us, class, as you know, and putting him wide right's been probably where he'll play mostly this year as we project out. And so he's got to positionally kind of train some of those movements. But I was really pleased with Sammy. And what a – he should be a crowd favorite. He just leaves everything out there. That big blonde mop hair is just constantly bouncing around. And he gives every bit of energy that kid has in his body. And it's obviously contagious to our team.
He had 14 players with shots last night of the 31 total. So guys that did get some run, all five of your substitutes at least had a shot. Helmer obviously scoring the goal off the bench. But you have some depth. You have different players. You have different ways to attack. And everybody got a little run last night. Alex Barger has forced himself into your lineup. He was fun to watch up and down the left back. Now, he was a center forward in high school. Now he's playing left back.
He's kind of the profile that, you know, we've liked. You know, he kind of used the Chicago with Duty and Gutman as more recent ones. This has been going on since the 70s and 80s with my father. But yeah, you take an attacking wide player. He was, you know, leading goal scorer, you know, tore up kind of the Chicago suburb college or high school scene for many years. But we saw him at a camp of ours and just saw this incredible focus and intensity. He's a locked in kid. And we loved some of those intangibles, and then he just kept developing and growing, and he's a really, really pleasant surprise. We thought he had a really nice upside, but he's ahead of the curve, and his service is very good. He has engine, the aerobic capacity to do what we need. It allows Tommy to come in his right foot with his movement around him. It keeps defenses very on edge, and he's a good defender. Let's get back to that. I mean, first and foremost, you're in the field to defend. And for a freshman, really impressed with one is just principles of play. His focus, he's so coachable. Really, really happy with Alex Barger and where he is as a young freshman.
This weekend, the IU Credit Union Adidas Classic. It's been going on for more years than I could count. You're going to cover both coasts this weekend. The ranked Washington Huskies will be the opponent Friday night at 8 o'clock. And then we'll come back. Seton Hall, boy, you've played both these teams in the last handful of years. The Pirates will be Monday night at 8 p.m. on the Labor Day weekend. It's an exciting time. You've got better weather Friday than you do for Monday in the heat department. But since you've already played in it, you should be great. Washington knocked you out a couple years ago in the NCAA tournament, and then you did the same to Seton Hall. Well, two different styles, and it should be a great weekend.
Incredible weekend. You know, I think the fans certainly, I'm sure, enjoyed this group, and hopefully they all come back out and bring friends because it's a difference. I mean, like I said to Paul, was intimidated, I believe, by the environment. And although Washington is potentially a different boat from kind of where they play or some of the experience they have, the home field makes a difference. But Washington, you know, the last 10 years has kind of emerged as a regular top 15 team. And, you know, they make a great run the year they beat us in 21. That was a tough one because, as you saw, and everyone that watched that game, that was maybe the toughest field conditions that I've ever been a part of. And both teams had a play on it. It was sad that we had to play that day, quite honestly. And I think Sammy Sarver's very motivated because he twisted his ankle 15 minutes in on a non-contact. Just the turf got him. Yeah, there's some guys that are definitely remembering that match, you know, the Sweet 16 game in 21. And at the same time, I don't look really back at those. That's, if a player needs that, they use it. To me, it's like this is an awesome opportunity for us to test ourselves against one of the top teams out west, and I think a team that's going to potentially make, you know, some noise in the tournament. And that's what our fans are expect. They love to see. So I think it's going to be a dynamite game on Friday. And then Seton Hall is going to have potentially a different style of play. I think they'll have a little bit more individual flair in certain spots. Just stylistically, they'll have some more international influence. Where Washington is more of the domestic team and a little more vertical and very tough. So different opponents, different styles. Both are teams that are going to be potential tournament, you know, runners. And we'll quickly know, again, where we're at, class. And our fans are going to be entertained. I can tell you that. It's going to be a really fun weekend.
Yeah, that's why you load it up. You get ready for Big Ten play and all the fun stuff that comes with that. Seton Hall 2-0 to get their season started. And Washington is 1-1. They fell to San Diego at the Husky Soccer Stadium on Sunday, 2-0 after beating South Florida at home 2-0 as well. Maybe a little payback for Washington in the weather department. It could be 89 degrees on Friday. I know they're not used to all of that, but that's the farthest thing from your mind. After we get done with the classic, we take a deep breath. But you know what? There's no time to goof around anymore. Let's get after it and have some more fun. And we're getting ready for the home games, though. Always great to see the crowd on Classic Weekend. And then the schedule, you guys just you don't put any easy – there's nothing easy about anything that you guys do. And you'll head to take on South Florida down in Tampa before opening up the Big Ten season back on Friday. So it's this Friday and Monday of the Labor Day weekend, and then it's home the 15th again after that. So if you can't make it for Labor Day, you'll have to circle your calendar for Wisconsin and the opener. How did South Florida get back on the schedule? I know we'll talk about that down the road a little bit, but again, more of a we've seen you over the years. We haven't seen you in a while.
No, it's South Florida came to our tournament years ago, and we told them we'd do our best to get back to them. And I do think they have a cool atmosphere. I try to get to our guys where I know that they'll make this a really big game. And crazy as that might sound, like, why would you want that? Go to a place with not a lot of atmosphere. It's like, that's, no, you want to go to Clemson. I mean, if there's a team in the ACC that maybe has the most difficult environment from a crowd element, certainly against a top team and program like ours, that place will be rocking. And it was. And it was difficult for some of our young guys. Older guys, you know, that was more and more they liked it. So South Florida, I think, will have that type of, you know, atmosphere. They're going to really blow up that game. So that was one of the reasons I thought it'd be a good one to go back. And I knew it'd be hot this time of year. Right at glass, I had the crystal ball. I'm like, well, we'll be used to heat. So we'll just go back down to the heat and play in some more heat. who knows? I'm guaranteed it's probably going to be colder than it was in South Bend opening weekend. I would be shocked if it's hotter than that.
I bet you're going to be right, buddy. Best of luck to you. Friday night, 8 o'clock, the IU Credit Union Adidas Classic opens up. Our friends from Ohio State will be in the opening match. It's Ohio State and Seton Hall at 4 o'clock. Indiana and Washington, 8 p.m. Your Hoosiers come back on Monday night, Labor Day, to get you wrapped up, ready to go. They will take on Seton Hall, and then Ohio State will play Washington in the early match on Monday. Thanks for your time as always, Coach. We'll talk to you after the two-game classic next Wednesday. Best of luck, stay cool, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, class.